Welcome to the Linked Up Church Podcast. We are passionate about connecting people to God, family, purpose, and community. Today, Minister Johnny Walker comes and asks a thought-provoking question. Why aren't you serving? Get your pen and your pad ready, and let's go into the worship center and hear what God has for us today.
Let me ask two questions. How many of you, and I want to, raising your hands, how many of you, even you online, put it in the chat, how many of you truly believe that Jesus Christ is always operating, working, and serving on your behalf? Amen. Amen. Wait, is that every hand? Put your hands up. I can't see. All right, basically every hand in here. Now, this second question, you don't have to answer. You don't have to raise your hand. It's between you and the Father. How many of you that raised your hands truly believe you are always serving and working on Jesus' behalf? I'm going to give you a warning right now. I know I'm going to step on some toes, but here's good news. Jesus is a healer. The title of this message is Why Aren't You Serving? We have the best volunteers, the best servers of God. Our dream team is second to none. They serve so you can have an unforgettable experience with the Lord. But some of our dream teamers serve every single week. It ought not be so that 10% is serving 90%. Our pastor's desire is that all members of Linked Up Church get connected to our vision by serving on a dream team and or becoming part of a connect group. It is my prayer that after this message, we will see a tangible increase of people wanting to serve and signing up to be part of our dream teams. Because most of you, under the sound of my voice, will make a quality decision to get off the bench and to get in the game. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to my foundational scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm reading verses 12 through 13 out of the Message. Now, I've been a message a lot today. So it reads, so now, Israel, what do you think God expects? We're talking expectations from you. Just this. Live in his presence in holy reverence. Follow the road he sets out for you. Love him. Serve God, your God, with everything you have in you. 13. Obey the commandments and regulations of God that I'm commanding you today. So what? So that you will live a good life. So if you've ever asked the question, what does God want from me? What does God expect of me? Well, here it is. We just read his expectations, that you remain in his presence with reverence, with fear, right? Stay in the word, read the word, listen to the word, meditate on the word, that you follow the road he set for you, his plans for your life, follow his directions, and then love him. Love him. Well, if you love him, you'll receive his son, Jesus, as your Lord and your Savior. If you love him, you'll do those things that he tells you to do. Then, to wrap it all up, he says, serve him with everything you have. We just sang in the song, I'll walk, I'll crawl, but this time, I give him all. Did you just sing that? Did you mean it? Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to prove it. Because what do we have here is the blueprint for living a good life. Obey his commandments and his regulations. This word commandment means this in the Hebrew. It means to command, instruct, give directions, but it also means to place in order. See, everything in the kingdom is predicated on order. Jesus' first inclination and desire is and was to serve. He said, I came down not to be served, but to serve and to do the will of him that sent me. So if we're supposed to be imitators of Christ and we're supposed to be Christ-like, then that would tell me then that our first inclination and desire should also be what? to serve. See, everything Jesus accomplished here in the earth is rooted and grounded in service. I'm going to give you a theme that I want you to carry in your heart throughout this message. It's almost like giving you my conclusion at the beginning. It says this: you can't be Christian without being Christ-like. You can't be Christ-like without being a servant. You can't be a servant without serving. Somebody say, coach, put me in the game. Hallelujah. Go to my first point. Serve God with everything you have. God loves you. We just sang the song about how great his love is. He wants you to live a good life. He's God, he's goodness, and he wants to share it with you. Let me give you a description in Hebrew of the word serve. It is abad. It means to labor, serve, work in ministry. It also means to be plowed, to be cultivated, to be worked. Did you notice the urgency that I read in verse 12? He says, I command you today. Let's work that urgency angle. All right, so turn with me in the book of Luke to chapter 9, verse 62. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you in three different versions. I'm going to give it to you in the King James Version, the Johnny Walker Version, and the Message Version. King James Version. And Jesus is doing the talking. He said, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Johnny Walker Version. You must put your hand to the plow to be fit for the kingdom of God. Now, part of one of the descriptions we just read about the Hebrew definitions for serve was what? Be plowed. The Message Version says this. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Urgency. Please hear me. God is sending an urgent message to those who have ears to hear. He's not stopping you from living a good life, right? I can't serve. I don't have the time. I'm doing too much. He's trying to get a good life to you. And he's commanding you today. Seize the day. Obey. Serve. Be plowed. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 17 through 22 out of the Message. Let's talk about the rich young ruler. Everybody knows the story. And it reads, as he went out into the street, a man came running up, the rich young ruler, greeted him, Jesus, with great reverence and asked, good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. Now think about that for a second. Jesus is setting him straight. Jesus is saying, I do not want to take credit for the Father's work. How many of you, doesn't it burn you up when somebody takes credit for your work? And then how many of you are taking credit for somebody else's work? How many of us take credit for the Father's work? Then Jesus said, you know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother. That's only six commandments. Last time I checked, we had 10. And the 10th one says, thou shalt not covet. Verse 20, the rich young ruler said, teacher, he got the message, he didn't say good teacher. Teacher, I have from my youth kept them all. Jesus looked at him hard in the eye and loved him and said, there's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth, and come follow. Come serve me. Oh, verse 22. The man's face clouded over. Just like some of y'all faces when I said, why aren't you serving? This was the last thing he expected. Here we go with expectations. The last thing he expected to hear, and he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things. How many of us are holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let go? That is amazing, because Jesus is trying to tell him You've got gifts from the Father, but you are abusing your gifts. Give them away and serve. He's speaking to hearts right now, saying, stop abusing. Stop sitting on your gifts, your anointings, your skill, the things I've given you, because you have to serve others. You have to serve others with your gifts. If you covet anything, covet Christ. And then when you covet, you'll covet fully obedience, and then you'll covet contentment. See, the rich young ruler had partial obedience, right? Jesus said, quoted 6 out of 10 of the good commandments. Fully obedience is when you serve and follow Jesus. I believe this spirit of urgency is based on 3 type of lies that he would want us to have. And they all roll up to the good life. The first one is eternal life. Well, eternal life we know comes from salvation, comes from receiving Jesus as your Lord, Savior, and Master. You have to do that first. And if you haven't, we'll give you a chance today. The second life is the good life, which comes from full obedience. It comes from obeying Jesus. And then there's a third life. It's the discipled life. Well, you get the disciple life that comes from serving Jesus, being a part of our dream teams. Hallelujah. Say, coach, put me in the game. See, you have to serve him with everything you have. You can't be like the rich young ruler. You have to renounce the ways of the world. You have to renounce misguided righteousness. You have to sacrifice for him, Jesus, because he sacrificed for you. Deny yourself and pick up the cross. Amen? All right. This Greek word follow, it means literally be a disciple of your leader's teaching. So let's see what value the leader puts on, Jesus puts on serving. Turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 26, out of the Message. And Jesus is talking again. Man, he's been talking to you guys all day. He says, if any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor, ready to serve at a moment's notice, urgency. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. Jesus is saying, serve him. But he's saying this, when you serve me, not only will I be with you, right? The Father will honor and reward you. Yes. Is that what I just read? Yes. This is what I call for believers, the holy trifecta. This is a JW-ism. Holy trifecta. What's the holy trifecta? I believe for the believer, the Holy Spirit is always operating, laboring on the inside of us. God has saturated us with gifts and anointings and different unique skills. Jesus is going before us. He's Jehovah Nissi, right? Our banner. He's going before us as our banner and our emblem. Think about that for a second. And Satan can't stand it. That's why he always tries to get you sidetracked with offenses, with clutters, right? The pride of this life, the rabbit trails of life. Right? He is a discourager. You think, well, if I got to serve, it's going to take up so much time and so much I got to do. Jesus is the encourager. He'll give you the time. He's a great way maker, is he not? He'll make a way. See, I don't think Jesus is the kind of God that would ask us to serve if it wasn't needed. I don't think he's the kind of God that would ask us to serve if we couldn't fit it in our schedule, if we couldn't find the time, if we were not capable of doing it. All of you, hopefully, have been praying for Linked Up's expansion. Is that correct? Well, if you've been praying for Linked Up expansion, you may not know it. You've been praying also for the expansion of the dream team. is the support function for the church. It is the backbone of Linked Up. God would be contradictory to himself and be counter to his own direction if he answered our prayers. That word prayer in the Greek means diome. It means to see a need, elevate the need, and then supplement to fill the need. So if you've been praying, right, and God answered your prayers, then God would not do something counter to himself. We're praying for him to link us up, not for us to set us up, not for him to set us up for failure. He's not that type of God, and he wouldn't do that. He won't send in the harvest until we are prepared and ready. Somebody say, Coach, put me in the game. See, God says when you serve, you represent him. See, every time you honor him with your labor, he'll honor you with his labor. Every time you stand in the gap and make up a hedge where there is a need in his house, he'll stand in the gap, make up the hedge where there's a need in your house. See, God expects us to be workers because he's a worker. He expects us to get our hands dirty because he got his hand dirty. He knelt down in dirt and formed man. Jesus played in dirt, wrote something in the dirt, and said, hey, let him with no sin cast the first stone. Huh? He took some dirt at one time, put some spit on it, slapped it in the man's eyes, man could see. Is that right? So the greatest spiritual law that we have is seed, time, and harvest. So when God plants the word in us as dirt, it is seed, give it time, it'll bring a harvest. I'm planting right now. I'm planting word in you. Here's the holy trifecta. All right. I labor with the Holy Spirit on the inside to craft this message. God is on the outside saturating me, anointing me to deliver it to you. And Jesus is going before me right now, touching minds, pricking hearts, because he's my banner and he's my emblem. Are you getting this? Yeah. Say it again. Last time I checked, a seed cannot plant itself. A seed can't water itself. A seed surely can't serve itself. Amen? All right, let me get to point two. Helps. H-E-L-P-S. Having enough loving people serve. Dream teams. It's just as important, excuse me, to God as healing and miracles. Do you think healing is important? Yes. You think miracles is important? Well, God is saying serving is just as important. Don't believe it? I'll prove it to you. Watch. Before we get to it, let's do grace, faithfulness, and being a good soldier. All right, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 3. The NLT, and then we'll drop down to 4 through 6. And it reads, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace. That word grace means, in the Greek, means benefits. It means favor. But get this, it also means gifts. Be strong through the gifts that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering. One verse says hardships, along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. There's 3 points I want to pull out of this. Be strong through grace, through the gifts he gives you in Christ Jesus. See, as believers, we're all leaders. We all have individual motivational gifts. We all have the ability to influence someone that nobody else can influence. So God is saying, be strong in using your gifts to glorify him, to serve him. Second point, teach truth to the trustworthy. Well, what truths? He's saying the truth about serving, laboring, and working in ministry. Teach them to trustworthy men and women who in turn can teach them to others. See, when you serve, you are honoring your Godship and you're also honoring your pastorship. Amen? Then he says, be a good soldier, a good servant. Most people like to fixate on enduring hardship and enduring suffering. Well, let me tell you something. We all, in some way, form, or fashion, will experience and have to endure hardships and suffering. If I have to endure it, I want to endure it as a good soldier. See, King David was a good soldier. Yes, he was. Joshua, Gideon, Samson, good soldiers. Barack, not Obama. Barack in the Old Testament, a good soldier. Pastors Joel and Patricia Gerke, good soldiers. They were faithful over little, and God has made them rulers over much. See, this drive to serve is in all of us. But when you flip that switch on, you can never flip it off. A good soldier is a faithful soldier. A faithful soldier's servant never questions the wisdom of the commanders in chief. See, to be a good, faithful soldier and servant, you don't exhibit a can-do attitude. You do exhibit a must-do attitude. I must be committed. I must be trustworthy. I must serve. Now, I'm the guy that's over the dream teams. And I'm always looking for some good soldiers. Every time I go up to certain people and say, why aren't you serving? I kind of get the same answer all the time. I haven't been led. Now, some people pray, and I got it. But some people haven't been led now for a couple of years. I don't believe it takes the Father a couple of years to answer some prayers. We only have 28 dream teams. So if I went to... So what if we went to Jesus? Jesus, we pray to Jesus. I need wisdom over here. I need to break a stronghold over here. I need you to make a way over here. And Jesus said, what now? You want me to give you wisdom over here? You want to break a stronghold over here? You want me to be a way maker over there? Well, I just don't feel led today. I read a story once where a pastor said he got so tired of his members telling him that they didn't feel led that he went out and bought some pencils. So the very next time he went to the same people, I don't feel led, Pastor. You still don't feel led? I don't feel led. He put the pencil in their hand and he says, well, now you feel led. Go serve. So for all of you I've been coming to, you might feel led today. Somebody say, Coach. Put me in the game. All right, so let's go to 4 and 6. So soldiers, it says, soldiers, don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Now, it's the affairs of life, right? The pride of life. Tools that Satan uses, and he uses them masterfully. But Paul warns us right here, to be a good soldier, good servant, right? You must be absent-minded from the things of the world and be present-minded for the things of God. Well, who's enlisting and recruiting? It's not Johnny Walker. It's not Pastor Joel Gregory. God is the one that is enlisting you, and he's the one that is recruiting you. Yeah. Right? So, and he makes these comparisons for us Christ-likes to get it, to understand. He says, be a good, faithful soldier as a committed soldier. Right? That's where you have to follow the rules. You have to obey. You have to submit. You have to have a must-do attitude, or you'll never get promoted onward and upward. Then he says, be as a world-class athlete. An athlete can have all the skill, all the power, all the perfect technique, all the know-how, Michael Jordan on steroids, but you'll never experience victory if you don't follow the rules of the game. Then he says, you can be like a crop harvesting farmer. A farmer can't plant seeds any kind of way. If he wants a bumper crop, he has to follow the rules of agriculture. What promotions, rewards, victories, harvests have you been waiting for? Are you following the rules? Just gave you his expectations, and the fourth was to serve. So let's look at the characteristics of a good servant. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read 5 through 6 out of the message. And it reads, "Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master." Who's the real master? It says right here, it says Christ. Who's the real master? It says Christ. Who's the real master? Thank you. "Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face. Choose joy. Always keeping in mind, have a mind to work, that no matter who happens to be given the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you a good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free." Now, some of you may be making six figures, and you may be thinking that pay is good pay. Well, I'm here to tell you, that pay pales in comparison to what the Father pays. He says, "Servants, good soldiers have to be what? Obedient. You have to submit to authority." Now, submitting to authority here on the earth is, in fact, submitting to God in heaven, or Christ, who's the real master. But there's different types of submission. There's submission and there's true submission. Submission is when I submit because everything is going my way. I agree with everything authority is saying and doing. Right? Then there's true submission. True submission is when you disagree with what authority is saying and doing, but you submit anyway. See, that's where that must-do attitude has to kick in. True submission is when you disagree. Nevertheless, you obey, you submit, you execute without delay and without pause, like Jesus did. He says, "Well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Nevertheless, not my will, Father, but your will shall be done." Amen. See, obedience and submission have like reciprocal relationships, and they're both mutually beneficial. Like you can't be a good soldier without being a good servant. Amen. So I have two children. My daughter, who's also here supporting me. Did I tell you she was single? So I have two children. My daughter, which is my oldest, and my son. Son is married, two kids. I got two handsome grandsons. All right, they both are super intelligent. Right, got all good grades growing up in schools because they know I wouldn't have anything less in my household. Right, the boy is always the boy. Isn't it always the boy? The boy gets in 12th grade, loses his. He decided that he did. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he got lazy like a days ago. He brought home some C's and a D. I don't allow C's and D's in my household. So, but I decided to approach it differently. I didn't snatch him up this time. So what I thought I'd do is, I thought I'd sow a seed into him. I said, "Son, if you can bring these grades up to B's at the end of the term, I will buy you a car." There's other stuff he had to do. "But I'll buy you a car." That boy looked at me. His eyes got as big as the screen behind me. And he says, "You'll buy me a car?" I said, "I'll buy you a car." He said, "Shake on it." Shook on it. I'd never seen a person work so hard. Night and day, day and night. Sure enough, at the end of that semester, he had not only had he raised all his grades up, from a C's and a D to B's. He actually had more A's, A minuses, if I remember correctly, than B's. So here's a mutual benefit. He gets a car. What do I get? I get to instill in him something that I still is reverberating right now in his life, even into his adulthood. I got to sow into him. You can do anything you put your mind to do. All you do have to do is exercise diligence. And what is diligence? Steady, earnest, application, energy, and effort. And that's what the Lord is asking you to do. Be diligent about serving him. Be diligent about giving him everything you have. Amen? So let's talk about individual motivational gifts. Turn with me to Romans 12. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8, the NLT. And it reads, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. I like that one. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. I like that one too. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So as believers, we have these individual motivational gifts. I said earlier, you can influence people that nobody else can. So God gave them to us primarily to benefit the church, so that we can help the church grow, but grow in love. See, God places a high priority on service. He said in 1 Peter, cast all your care upon me because he cares for you. That's service, right? Jesus said in Luke 4:19, he's anointed to preach the gospel, recover of sight to the blind, right? Setting the captive free, mending broken hearts, setting at liberty them that are bruised. Well, what is that? Service. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's your comforter. He's your standby. He's your strengthener. He's your counselor. He's your advocate. What's all that? Service. Come on now. Somebody say coach.
Coach.
Put me in the game.
Put me in the game.
1 Corinthians 12:28, King James Version. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings. Here we go. Helps. Having enough loving people serve. Dream teams. Right? You see it for yourself in black and white. Governments, diversities of tongues. Now, our dream teamers take pride in serving the body of Christ. They take pride in serving you, in serving our leadership, in serving others. You might not know this, but at 7:30 every Sunday morning, we have what we call our dream team huddle. We start the day off with preparing our hearts to serve, with scripture, unity, with prayer, just with encouragement. See, serving is not meant to be drudgery. Serving is fun. Let me show you a snippet for what that film, for what the huddle looks like. Can you guys roll that, please? You didn't think you could have this much fun at church, right? So serving is fun. But God created dream teams to be the provision for the church. When you sign up to serve, you actually are God's answers to prayers. Think about this. Just for yourself. Helps the dream team is just as important as healing and miracles. So that means to God, you're just as important. So when you're just as important as Moses parting the Red Sea. Serving is just as important as Elijah parting the River Jordan. Serving is just as important as blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight. Serving is just as important as Lazarus being raised from the dead. It's a supernatural work being performed in a supernatural ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Point three. God will defend your right to serve. I'm going to talk through 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 24. The Apostle Paul is giving a personal testimony to the Corinthians, right? His dream team. He defends his ministry and the right to serve. Let's go down to 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but as helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Paul is saying, I call God as a witness. I came not to lord over you, but I came as a help unto you. I came to honor you. I came to bring you joy in serving. He's reinforcing to his dream team the same thing our pastors reinforce to us, that we mirror God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because they work together to achieve the vision. Well, we are working together to achieve what? The vision. Because we're supernatural workers doing a supernatural work in a supernatural ministry. Amen. Now, let me say something. This message is not meant to condemn anybody, but it is meant to convict. Amen. Jeremiah said the word of God is like a hammer, it convicts. He said the word of God is like a fire, it refines. So some of you are getting hammered, and some of you are being refined. Let me take you to Nehemiah so I can land this rocket. Nehemiah, I just talked through it. What I want to get to you on Nehemiah is this, that the people had a mind to work. So Nehemiah was given a vision from the Father. Go build the wall of Jerusalem. He had to recruit dream teamers. The Bible says he had 43 divisions. They did what was impossible. They worked straight for 52 days to build the wall of Jerusalem. They worked day and night and night and day. The Bible says that they even put their weapons on their sides, kept building the wall. If they had to fight, they'd go fight, win, come back, keep building the wall. The Bible says they didn't change clothes for 52 days. Now, join the dream team. Please change your clothes. Please visit bars of soap. Point is, there's so much you can accomplish in life when you align yourself with the will and the plan of God. Now, we can do the impossible where others, I don't want to say that. What may be impossible for others becomes possible for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me give you my first wind down. Let me remind you of the expectations. Remain in his presence, follow his plan, love him, and serve him. Now, I'm challenging everyone under the sound of my voice to receive Jesus, to become a member, and to serve on the dream team. I liken it for you to be like Nehemiah and his dream team. Have a mind to work. To be like Paul, who said, God, I am yours to command. To be like Jesus, who says, I came to serve. I'm going to take a little time. It's not much. And I actually want to read to you one of my personal declarations. And I'm going to really ask you to listen to it intensively. I believe it's going to seal the deal for some people who are on the edge of the bench. Reads, I am a soldier, a prayer warrior, a worker. I came to serve. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible gives my rules of engagement. Faith, prayer and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted to serve for eternity. I will not get out, I will not sell out, and I won't be talked out. I am a servant, I am faithful, I am committed, and I'm excited. I will be on my post, I will be in my position, I'll be prayed up, and I will be prepared. If my pastor needs me, I am there. They can count on me. I'm a soldier. I serve. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. No one has to call me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a prayer warrior. I serve. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cared for, or catered to. I am a worker. I serve. I will not let offense turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to make me quit. I love God. I love people. I pursue excellence. I choose joy. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot delusion me. Weather cannot refrain me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. I'm a prayer. I'm a warrior, a worker. I serve. I would not give up. I would not turn around. I would serve with excellence, not with an attitude, but with joy and a gratitude. So let me conclude with this. God is asking right now, why aren't you serving? Will you stand for him? Will you work with him? Will you serve him? Father, I thank you for the word that has gone forth. I pray, Father, that the seed has been planted, that the Holy Spirit will water the seeds, because we look to you to give the increase. You are our master in chief. You are our commander in authority. We're not serving to please man. We're serving to please an audience of one, to please you. I pray, Father, that the fruit that's produced, I know there's a 30, there's a 60-fold, but I'm praying a 100% fold. There's work to do in the kingdom, Father. And we need volunteers. We need servers to prepare us to complete the vision you've given our pastors. We thank you for pouring into us today, Father. We commit to not only being hearers, but also being doers of the word and of the work. Amen.
Praise God. I trust that this message has touched your heart today. Listen, we don't claim to have all the answers, but we do know one answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a personal relationship with him today, we want to invite you to do so. Or maybe you had one with him, but you've just gotten away and you're desiring to come back to Christ today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today. If you would, repeat this after me. Put your hand over your heart and say these words. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died, rose from the grave, and he is alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. As a result of what I've confessed with my mouth, what I believe in my heart, I am right now born again and in right standing with God. In Jesus' name." Praise God. We are so excited for you. We believe that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. We are so excited that you made the decision to get connected to God.
Thank you for listening today. If this message encouraged or inspired you in any way, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit us at linkedupchurch.com or download the Linked Up Church app. You can also watch live services, view past messages, and see our dynamic content for children, youth, and teens on our Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Linked Up Church. And if you would like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at linkedupchurch.com or text Get Connected to 94000. Thanks again for listening. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to connecting with you.